I'm going to go ahead and start by introducing myself. My name is Brett Smith. At present, I co-lead pastor alongside my wife, Tara, who's here handing out 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper, of which you need at least one and an ink pen. If you don't have a pen, you're going to need to have a really good friend that will let you borrow theirs. I want you to make notes and take notes. Very good. Anyway, as I was saying, my name's Brett. I'm a co-lead pastor alongside my wife, Tara. And we are currently pastoring in at Crossroads Nazarene Church in Chandler, Arizona. We've been there since July of 2020, if that date rings a bell at all for any of us. We moved to that spot in the world right in the middle of the pandemic. And I do not recommend either a pandemic or moving in a pandemic. So, but we've been honored to be able to serve there for the last almost 3 years and are really delighted to be invited to this space. It's nice to be kind of back in sort of my orbit where I understand this part of the world in a real way. And for those that don't know, so my dad made a little trip up here from Cape. Hi, Dad. This is a special shout out to you. His name is Kim Smith. Many of you probably know him. A fun fact about us, we were able to, Tara and I were able to serve on staff with him during his ministry in Clarksville, Tennessee, from 2006 to about 2013 when you abandoned us for Iowa. Just kidding. We've talked about that. We're good. We're all good. No, he went and served then the last part of his ministry in Iowa and now has retired and moved back here to Cape Girardeau. So he got roots here in the southeast region of Missouri. So this morning, for this breakout session, our topic is going to be as simple and earth-shattering as friendship. Right? So we're going to do some like exercises together as little conversational groups. And my goal for us this morning is to just really poke at and examine friendship. I'm getting the sense, the more I do ministry, that friendship is a completely undervalued reality of ministry. But also at the same time, it's something that we just take completely for granted without realizing the depth and the richness of something as mundane and for some of us as ambiguous as friendship. So my goal is that in our conversation, I want this to be kind of conversational. I know it's kind of weird in a group like this, but I just want you to feel free to make this as much of a give and take conversation as you can with me. You're going to talk with each other in your groups, and then we're going to kind of draw out and just kind of get at some of these ideas that surface in the room. So in some ways, you're kind of a case study for me because I'm getting ready to take this back to Crossroads also. So I'm going to see how it works here. We've already been stirring up this mess in Crossroads with friendship. And so let me say just a quick word of prayer. Okay, Father, would you bless our conversation? May your Holy Spirit teach us. We need you to teach us. Would you open our hearts, make us receptive? Father, would you inspire our conversation today? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, a little bit about me before I got into what we would consider formal pastoral ministry. I was a kid right out of college, still working on my master's degree, trying to figure out who in the world I was, what I wanted to do, what my calling was going to look like. The Lord had cultivated in me just a sort of this heart of compassion for people, and I was trying to understand that. So during my master's work, Tara and I were living in Kankakee, Illinois at the time. I was working a community job, and my first real job out of, we spent a year in Papua New Guinea And then when we got back and settled in Kankakee, my first real job was at a treatment facility for juvenile sex offenders. I was like a floor counselor. And then right after that, I got into a different job, kind of along the same vein. Now, I was a student who had graduated, my undergraduate was in religion. So I had like no training in this. And for some reason, my friend Eric Cummins said to me one day, "Hey man, you want a job?" I said, "Sure, get me out of Indian Oaks Academy, because I'm struggling here." And he said, "Man, I work at a community mental health clinic. Would you come and be a caseworker with me?" And so I packed up and I moved over to the community mental health clinic there in Kankakee, Illinois, and worked with my friend Eric. I had no idea what I was doing. No clue. And first day on the job, there was supposed to be this training program. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You've been through new job training? Some of them are good. Eric looks at me and says, "Hey man, just be their friend and you'll figure the rest out." And the crazy part was, I took the guy seriously. Because that was my training. In the community mental health clinic. Just be their friend and you'll figure the rest out. And so I spent the next 3.5 years being friends with all kinds of people from all kinds of walks of life in all kinds of situations, and every day was different because you never knew what was going to happen or who you were going to be talking to but the Lord used that as an instrument to teach me so much about how to friend, and also how to let others be a friend to me. So I need us to highlight that for a little bit. That friendship is not something as casual as maybe we want to pretend it is, but maybe like the work of God has centered some of His holy work in exactly that. So we'll get there through our conversation, I hope. So let's do a little exercise, okay? Does everybody have their 8.5 by 11 sheet of blank paper? It's so fancy. It's digital. You can download it later. I'm going to just ask you a question, and they're going to start basic, and then I hope this conversation just leads us where it needs to go. I want you individually right now to just think about like your friend. You're going to have to define that for yourself. I want you to think about your friend. You're thinking about them right now. The image of them is in your mind. I want you to write their name down. And then I want you to, with that particular individual or other, there may be two. That's fine. You can have more than one friend. I hope by the end of this that you have way more than one. I want you to just think for a moment. We're just going to be quiet. Think, why in the world is this person my friend? And then write that down. Got a few still writing. I won't do the pencils down, heads up. You know. And after you've taken that time to do that, I want you to, in your group, first introduce yourself to them, whether you know them or not. Maybe tell them where you go to church, and then tell them what you wrote Is that okay? Is this too personal all of a sudden? Is it, well, you're like, if that's your experience, we won't watch as you walk out. You're welcome to just go. It's okay. We're just going to the deep end real fast. Share it with your group. Friends, are we close to getting around the circle? Did everybody have a chance to share? We need another minute. We give you another minute, minute and a half, okay?
I'm Jenny.
No kidding.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm part of the story of the authority and know the person.
we just about there? If your group leader or somebody, a self-appointed group leader, gives me a thumbs up that we're pretty well there. I don't want a short circuit friendship. That would be antithetical to this event. Okay, let's talk about this. Just for a moment, I want us to just talk for a second, just to hear from in this, what were some of the key sort of necessary ingredients that floated to the surface in your conversation? Anybody want to shout these out?
Yeah, I said the power of intentionality, being intentional.
The power of intentionality? Wow, okay. Who wants to follow that? Dependable, excellent.
Caring.
Commonalities, good.
Godly,
very good. Yeah, that's central.
Longevity,
excellent.
Inviting,
kind of like maybe welcoming and hospitable, inviting, very good.
Accepting,
excellent. Any other ingredients?
Faithful,
very good. Can I take that word and make it, I think, even more earthy? Trustworthy.
Yes.
Does that ring a bell?
Forgiving.
Very good. Grace is required, or your friendship will not last very long. I'll just say it.
Laughter,
good. There's joy. Right? Celebration is a factor. It's a key ingredient. This is kind of covering the gamut in this. Anybody else?
Common interest.
This is really important, right? To sort of share some of the same sort of fabric of interest. Very good. Yeah. Okay. So we're agreed, right? This kind of makes sense that this is what moves to the surface. Is friendship enough? Like, is friendship enough?
Yes.
You guys are right. No, I'm just kidding. I really want to hear. I'm leaving that question kind of vague for a second because I'm going to ask it again later. Is friendship enough? Maybe for you or for someone else. All right, let's talk about it. So we've spent some time with your own sort of personal engagement with friendship. You've shared this with the group. We're going to shift this now to friendship in your church. And this is going to feel maybe a little bit anecdotal, but I want you to just begin to kind of analyze for yourself from your own perspective friendship in your church. Let me share a little bit of a story and then I'll sort of cut you loose to start talking about that with some other questions, right? So about a week ago at our, we had a Crossroads Nazarene Church leadership, you know, sort of powwow, like a get together. It wasn't a meeting, I don't know what we called it. It was just a get together. And we had all of our staff sort of invite core leaders to their own table, and we led them through some conversations. And about a third of the way, halfway through that conversation, it started to get a little bit emotional in the room as people were sort of sharing their perspective. You don't know Crossroads history, but as any church, it's got its own history. I'll just say that. And the emotion in the room kind of turned a little bit for a second toward lament. You know what lament sounds like, where there was some grieving about what's missing, what's broken. And a guy afterwards approached me, actually a few days afterwards. His name is Mike. And Mike said, Pastor, I sat in that room and I listened to people and I started getting really agitated about the conversation. I said, well, Mike, tell me what was bothering you. He says, I don't see friendship happening in our church. And I said, well, help me. I mean, you're going to have to help me from your perspective understand what you mean, right? And so he started to share. He said, you know, I've been coming here for 2 years. We came over from a different church because this sort of was a better fit for us. And he said, we've invited 8 families over the 2 years. And it can't get it to move into a different space of connection. And so he's kind of just unpacking this. And I didn't try to fix it pastorally. I just listened to him. And then I asked him a question. He said, but I don't think it's just a problem for our church. He says, you haven't been in Arizona very long, but here's what I need to tell you. Like, in Arizona, everybody's just ruggedly and doggedly independent. And I laughed. I said, well, you haven't been outside of Arizona, Mike. Ruggedly and doggedly independent. So he was putting his finger on the pulse of sort of the problem that wasn't just consequential in the church. It was like, this is people's experience. And I said, well, Mike, I wonder what it would look like for those of us at Crossroads to get serious about solving the problem of loneliness. Would that help us mobilize alongside each other for a purpose? To solve the problem of loneliness. So here's my question for your groups. Okay? I want you to kind of talk amongst yourselves again. Is friendship a value in your church? What does friendship look like in your church? Those two questions. Is friendship a value in your church? And what does friendship look like in your church among church members? Right? So, I'm not trying to like hit the hornet's nest. So if some of y'all go to church together, I mean, you can leave now, I guess, and not have to proceed with this friendship conversation. So, okay, go for it.
And so I think a lot of it is trying to find out what my response is.
Give you just a little bit more time to finish the thought that you're on, and then we're going to move forward another step. When it looks like your group is winding down, give me the... Okay. Very good. So this is what church leaders do. Church leaders talk about what matters to the church, right? So I hope this is helpful for you to just kind of examine the state of your congregation and your friends there. So let's talk about this for just a second. I asked you before, is friendship enough? Is friendship in your church enough? Just think about it. You don't have to answer. There's no right answer. I met Ricardo about 8-9 months ago, and Ricardo showed up with his wife Frida, and their two little boys, and they had just moved to the Phoenix area from LA, and they were trying to figure out how to navigate a whole new city with the family and new jobs, and Frida, Ricardo's wife, had some faith background, not a lot, but Ricardo was super skeptical. And we took Ricardo to dinner one night, just kind of have a burger at Culver's to get to know he and Frida when they first started attending church. And what I loved about Ricardo is he's super honest. Like, he wasn't fronting any pretense. It was just, hey man, like, I probably won't be here for very long, because my experience with churches is I go 2 or 3 times and then, like, they start judging me, and I'm not going to do that. Now, Ricardo's not an offensive individual. He's actually a pretty easygoing, nice guy, but he steps into churches, this has been his pattern, right? So he put up his sort of defense mechanism and sort of projected that out there, and Tara and I just laughed and said, oh, we know, and that's okay. And we just kept being his friend. And kept insisting. And what happened with Ricardo is Ricardo kept finding himself intrigued by this, like, rebellion against his defense mechanism, right? We just insisted that Ricardo and Frida were going to be our friends. And it baffled them. Because they already had their script, they already knew how this story was going to go, and Frida had already kind of, like, as much as she wanted Ricardo to come to church with her, like, she was like, well, we're just doing what we always do, shopping around. On Easter Sunday, I had the honor to baptize Ricardo. And on his testimony, he said, look, on the day that I was baptized and believed, I believed. The weirdest baptism testimony I've ever heard. Because this dude is talking about salvation occurring on the day of his baptism. And I have watched this guy just by virtue of being adopted into friendship. And that is his testimony as he shares it in his experience at Crossroads is, man, these people were trustworthy. They just kept proving over and over again that they were my friend. I wonder if in the middle of all of these sophisticated, savvy programs and initiatives and well thought out strategic plans, if maybe we were to just kind of say, wait a minute, what if we could just be friends and let the fundamental of friendship, as it was designed and intended by God, to just lead the way? Is friendship in your church enough? Let's talk about briefly. I don't know what time I need to be done. Does anybody know? What time's the next one? I need some direction.
12:15.
Don't go past lunch. Yes. Okay, 12:15 is the end. All right, we got time for another couple of sections here. So the next section is, okay, so we got your own personal friendships. We've talked about that. Now, you've evaluated your friendships in your church. I want you to start thinking about the friendships that you have that are not in the church. This may be a little bit confusing for some of us. That's okay. But I want you to be thinking about the friendships that you have that are outside of the church. Who are they and how well do you know them? Those two questions. Is this too much? Are we pushing the conversation too far? Are you feeling too vulnerable in this setting? Okay, good. If you are, you might need to find another session. How many friends do you have outside the church? Who are they? How well do you know them? Just talk for a few minutes.
Who are they and how well do you know them?
Hang out and see if you bought in, it's easier to develop those relationships. holidays and friendships outside of the church.
Well, in that context, but we don't really have that community in the same sense.
So really good. I have a connection for 27 years.
Well, I think that felt really close. Okay. I'm going to ask for one person to share what their current experience of what I'm going to call friendship beyond the threshold. Friendship beyond the threshold. I want to hear one story that currently is happening. Just a brief story from somebody who's a volunteer that can say, look, this is what this looks like for me right now. We got one. Talk loud.
All right. I'm a teacher in a public school system, and it's hard for me to, I mean, I have friends that I've worked with for years, I've had kids that they have the same kids, that's gone to school together. It's difficult for me to be friends outside work with them because they do different things than I do. So my example was last night after graduation. They get together and go to one little bar and grill. That's difficult for me because I don't feel comfortable in that kind of situation. So my friendship ends basically at the door at school, but we text about our families and things, but I don't go hang out with them after school.
That's great. Anybody else experience that tension? Yeah? Who wants to share? Do I have a hand right here? You want to share a story right here?
Yeah.
I am talking to you from Southside, right? Is that what you said your church is at?
I'm actually from Jersey, so be careful.
Oh, okay. I'm noted. Share away.
I have to say, I'm in an odd situation. My son no longer attends church, but he owns 3 bars in St. Louis. And I find that I find more friends at the bar. If I go sit with them, I don't have to drink. I just sit with them, and his friends that come in and sit at the bar, sometimes they'll say to me, like Easter Sunday, why go to church this morning? I'm like, yeah, Jesus is risen. And they're like, yeah, okay. Oh. So I give the opportunity to make friends, but they know who I am. They know what I believe in, and they know I stand my ground. But I'm there because I love them, and they know I love them. They call me mom.
Oh, man.
So, you know, the threshold is where you make it.
Yeah, that's good. This is, thank you. Go ahead.
We equated holiness with isolationism.
Okay.
He said, go into all the world.
Ah.
Go to bars, go to the ball games, have a ball. We don't have to be like them, but we are like them because we are once them.
Yeah, very good.
How can we disconnect
if
we're isolated? They'll become isolated, and they were them.
Wow.
If we're them, we don't even count anymore.
Y'all, listen. How did we end up here from a conversation about friendship? Isn't that peculiar? I mean, if you think about the progression, we just started innocently talking about friendship. Boring, right? And now here we are talking about like the heartbeat and the mission of God who is pursuing us to and through the bitter end. That's remarkable. It's almost like friendship is intuitively this vehicle through which the grace of God moves. Can we talk for a second about communion? So there's this verse, John 15:15, right? I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus learned friendship from his Father. He's making it known to you. You're not just here as a servant because you know your Father's business. You can hear about that. I can hear it. Right? So, So this friendship beyond the threshold for us bears with it the question of who gets to show up at your table. Can we go there for a second? Who's invited to your table? How do you set your table? So here's the imagery that we've got, right? What we call the Last Supper, Jesus is gathered there with his disciples. And this is a sacred moment for us, right? But think about those people at that table. If you really think about them for a moment, like, some of them are barely Christian guys. Can I just say it? Like, they're just, like, barely. And then, like, within a matter of moments, like, then they sort of weren't. So Jesus, like, intentionally set this table. For these disciples that were just barely at the cusp of figuring out what friendship with Jesus looks like. And they're getting ready to betray him and go get paid. And then when the pressure's on, they're going to be like, nah, that's not my guy. Right? Are you tracking with the characters in the story? Are you? And so I wonder for us, as a vision for friendship in our churches, if we ask ourselves, and I'm not just talking about the communion table, I'm talking about, like, the space. The space that we create in our churches. Is there a space, is there a place at the table for people who are just even, like, barely Christian? I started to really get messed up on this in a good way, okay? When I say messed up, I'm saying, like, in a good way. The Holy Spirit sort of really stretched my understanding of his table in a big way. I told you at the beginning of our time together that my first real job was as a counselor in a juvenile treatment facility for juvenile sex offenders. I lasted about 6 months because the job required me to, like, sort of, like, put my hands on kids and, like, restrain them. And I just decided, I just did not. That's just not, man. That's not me. But during that time, like, there was like this sort of, I think, a theological and spiritual, like, movement happening in my life around the idea of who's invited in my life. So we hosted as a group of counselors, we hosted Thanksgiving dinner for the kids in our unit. Now, in our particular unit, there were developmentally delayed individuals ranging from the age of, like, 13 to 20. So we spent all day with them. And it was time for Thanksgiving, and when holidays hit, like, the intensity level in the room, like, everybody's amped. And so we tried to put on a nice party for the guys, because most of them didn't get to see their family. So you got all that going on in the room. And I'll never forget it. Like, we all pulled up at the table with all this food on it. And I knew these kids, right? I knew their story. I knew their background. I knew why they were there. I knew. And they weren't Christian. But somebody shouted out because, like, it was the necessity. It was the thing to do. Somebody needs to say grace. Matt, say grace. Now, you gotta know Matt. Like, Matt was the runt of the group. He was the smallest kid with the biggest attitude and the biggest fight in the room. And he was ready to take on anybody at the drop of a hat. But he sat at the head of the table. And they were like, Matt, say grace. He's like, got it. He's got a t-shirt, like, XXX t-shirt on his little frame. And he like takes his hat off. Let's pray. And I watched this kid like, dear God, hey, praying. Dear God, thank you for this. And that was it. Holy moment? I don't know. Hold on. For me, it was. Because something about that event, the Holy Spirit rested on me and said, man, these are my people, dude. Like, these are the people that I'm here for. I am abiding in this place. And it began to, like, shift my understanding of, like, the threshold of friendship and the boundaries of God's grace and just how serious His business is in reclaiming and restoring that which was lost. I haven't been the same since that event. And every time I serve communion at my church, I look out at this group of people and I see Matt. And the crazy part at the end of the story was, they went bonkers and the kid headbutted me in the nose and broke my nose and it bled all over the floor. But I think, my friends, this is a compelling conversation. So the way I want to send you out is with the advice that has compelled me and held me true. Just be their friend. You'll figure the rest out. Can I pray? Gracious God, thank you for calling us your friends, for inhabiting our lives and giving us the mind of Christ so that we can see the world as you see it and engage it as you see it. Lord, would you continue that transforming work of holiness in us, that your world may be transformed, perhaps in partnership with us. What a delight. Lord, would you bless our churches? Would you bless our presence in those places? May they represent you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Very good. Thank you so much for your time.